Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So Cuomo's out. Not just the governor. Chris, too. Jordana here. David at the helm. Paul filled in on the morning. But this is a conversation we had had. Literally, it was, David, it was like perfect timing. We had had this conversation from the Silla Center, Jane Kirtley, who is a media ethics professor. And we talked about what CNN should do about the Chris Cuomo problem that they now have, how we're now learning that Chris Cuomo was aiding his brother, Andrew Cuomo, kind of digging up dirt and talking to other journalists about what they know about the scandal, the sexual harassment scandal that his brother had ongoing. And Jane Kirtley said to us, she said, I don't think he can't work at CNN anymore. In fact, he can't be a journalist anymore. And literally, like right after we got off the air, right after we got done talking to her, CNN announced that they have indefinitely suspended Chris Cuomo. Indefinitely suspended Chris Cuomo. The Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, released thousands of documents. These include text messages and transcripts. And there were details about how Chris helped his brother, who is former governor, Andrew Cuomo. He's not the governor anymore. He stepped down amid this scandal. Apparently, Chris Cuomo, while he was a news anchor, obviously a talk show host at CNN, he was working closely with the governor's staff, giving them advice on how to deal with the scandal. He was also reaching out to other journalists to find out what they knew about the sexual harassment scandal. And he hasn't commented yet. CNN has suspended him pending further evaluation. And that's, of course, absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's CNN saying, you sit on the sidelines until we find the right way to fire you at the right time. I mean, it seems like that's what's happening right here. They don't want to quite pull the trigger on the firing yet, right, but they will soon.
They will, and I think they have to. You know, I think I was sort of on the fence because I had been having conversations with other friends who either like Chris or watch Chris or knew of the scandal, and people were saying, well, if it was my brother, I would have helped him too. Family first. You know, this is just a job. If my brother needed help, and the defense was, of course, that Chris went on the air at CNN and said, I'm not going to report on this. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to interview my brother. I'm not even going to comment on it. And I guess that was his way of absolving him from the issue. But then to work behind the scenes on behalf of his brother and use media contacts to get information, you just can't have it both ways.
Well,
you
what Jane Kirtley said yesterday to us is that, you know, maybe that was the right thing for him to do to help his brother. But if you're going to do that, then you cannot be a journalist.
That's it. And that's the rub, David. That's the rub. And that's what I was trying to explain also to people I was having a conversation with. And Jane Kirtley put it perfectly. She said, because it's about trust. When you watch Chris Cuomo's show, and even though he's a talk show host, he gives his opinion, you know, it's not straight up journalism. It's infotainment, really, when you watch his show. There has to be a level of trust that he's telling you the truth, that he's not hiding anything or he's not actively lying to you. And he did recuse himself from discussing it on the air, but you just, I don't know. I think that trust was broken by having him actively work for his brother you know, and again, using media contacts to maybe gauge what other reporters knew and other talk show hosts knew. There's just the line that was crossed. And, you know, to your point, David, family is first. Maybe Chris Cuomo should have said, I'm going to step down from CNN because I want to help my brother. And maybe that was the right thing to do.
Well, yeah. And look, there's other things I could pursue as a person. And some of them I could do while I have a job here at CCO. And some of the things I would want to pursue, great things that if I want to do something in politics or whatever. But some of those things would preclude me from my position here. And that's how the world works. It's not right or wrong. And maybe I'll make that choice someday. But there's some things you don't get to do both.
You just don't get to do both. And it is about trust. And I think the media's or the public's perception of the media is so broken and so damaged already that, you know, they think that the media is pulling strings behind people's backs. And this was just a blatant example of, yes, sometimes that happens. Some people do use their power and their influence to gain information and to gain an advantage. And again, if you wanted to do that, you have to do that, but not be a news anchor at the same time. So definitely not surprised. This came as no surprise that this was going to happen. But I can absolutely see that they did the right thing. And I think they did the right thing also. I think you can not do both. So there you go. That's the very latest on Chris Cuomo. I'm sure the firing will happen sooner. Maybe they'll let him step down. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? But CNN and Chris Cuomo, I imagine, will be parting ways very shortly. Coming up next, some of the Christmas scams to watch out for. I don't know about you, but I have been receiving via text and email some crazy stuff. Okay, we're closing down your Gmail account unless you click on this link and double check. You know, emails from big bank, well, they claim to be from banks that says, you know, your account has been blocked. Click here and make sure that everything's in order. Obviously, I don't click because we've had too many guests on this show that I should know better. But some of them look really, really authentic. And I just had this conversation with my kids today, who are now old enough to have bank accounts, you know, post bar mitzvah, they got bank accounts. I said, you guys have to be on the lookout for this because this is spam and you can never click. So there are 12 scams of Christmas that we all need to watch out for. Alex Hammerstone from Trusted Sec of Risk Management is going to be joining us to talk about these scams and give you fair warning next. So today, my youngest, when she got home from school, she came in my bedroom here. I'm working from home. And she says, Mom, I got a text that said it was from Perkins. And they said they saw my impressive resume and would like to meet for an interview. And I said, okay, I didn't realize you applied for a job at Perkins. She goes, I didn't. She applied for a job at another place because she's 14 and there's only a certain amount of places that will take a 14-year-old, and she would like an after-school job. And I said, okay, babe, you can't respond. She said they didn't put my name in the text either. I said, well, there's a big tip right there, honey, that's spam. And I know you want a job, but please do not respond. Just delete it. It's 100% spam. She's a 14-year-old, so I don't know how they're getting her phone number. She said the application she did fill out for this one specific place online, she said it was a private application, and they say that it's a private application. So look, I mean, I guess it happens, right? We're all online and we're all connected, so it's going to happen. But I'm really glad she told me, because who knows what would have happened if she had responded and said, yeah, I want a job and let's meet. That scares the crap out of me, quite frankly. So joining us now to make us more aware of things that are possibly dangerous is Alex Hammerstone. Alex is the head of risk management at Trusted Sec to talk to us about some scams that we should be on the lookout for. Alex, I'm so glad you're back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to talk to you.
Yeah. So again, this one with my little one threw me. Thank God she knew enough to say to me, hey, this happened. What do you think? And we decided to ignore it. But I know there's lots of other scams out there.
So there are scams everywhere. And, you know, with the holiday season coming, it's a lot of these scammers use the same scams repeatedly, but they'll kind of change the what we would call the wrapper around these scams, you know, to draw people in. And right now, with the job market such as it is, a lot of people are, you know, leaving their jobs, looking for jobs. You know, the job scams are really common. But there are also just tons and tons that are related to the holidays. You know, whether they're kind of these shipping scams or, you know, fake products or trying to get you to, you know, order something that doesn't exist and get your credit card number. Mm-hmm. It really is just continuing to grow. And I think especially because so many of us have been home so much lately that, yeah. you know, that the scammers go where the people are, right? And now that people are at home, that's where they're going to get you.
So talk to me about these shipping scams. Is that, does that mean like the ones that say, hey, your package has been delayed, click here to find the status? Because I get those emails all the time.
I do as well. So that's a pretty common one. And really what they're doing is they know that pretty much all of us are ordering things online all the time. So if you send 1,000 people, you know, a fake message saying that they've, you know, received a shipment or their shipment's delayed, most of those people are probably expecting a shipment. It's a really good pretext for a scam. And what will happen is you'll click on that link, and it'll ask you for your information. And if you enter it, then the scammers have your info.
Mm-hmm. And that's always the key. I tell everybody in the family, I said, no clicking. Just whatever you get sent, no clicking. You know, go in to your bank, your own banking app, or log in on your own. Just absolutely no clicking. Let's run through some of the ones that you sent me. Number one, you say there are fake online retailers. How do they go about trying to hook us?
So that's a pretty common one. You know, if there are toys that are in short supply or game systems or whatever there may be, you know, they can pretty easily just take pictures of whatever these things are and create a web page. You know, creating a web page is really easy these days. And they'll get you to think that you can buy the product there. And, of course, you'll go and order it. And it'll never show up, and they've just taken your credit card information. And not only that, then you have a disappointed relative or whomever on your holiday because that thing never showed up. So that's a pretty common one. So you really want to stick with, you know, reputable sites, the ones that you know and use regularly.
Mm-hmm. You also write here, this piqued my interest, number six, you have virtual gifts for kids like Roblox pets. Like, what is that? Tell me about that.
So it's really interesting. You know, I've got kids and they spend a lot of their lives online, of course. You know, we used to in the old days, but it was much different. And a lot of these virtual worlds, you know, these games, they have products that you can buy with real money, or you can buy with money that you earn in the game, or you can buy the currency for the game. And so a lot of times what they'll do is they'll trick you into thinking that there's, you know, some kind of product out there these kids want. If they want some special hat or outfit for the character in their game. And what will happen is they won't actually receive it, or it will have been stolen from somebody else. And then once they have that in-game currency, they can oftentimes exchange that for real money. And so they're really you know, looking to scam these gamers, and especially when they're kids who may not be as astute about these things.
Oh, wow. Okay. So these are literally virtual things that they never show up with, but you pay real money for it.
That's right. It seems kind of odd, you know, to people my age. You know, it seems to be a pretty big craze, you know, with adults too, you know, buying these virtual things. But it's a real thing, and real money is involved these days.
Talk to me about e-skimming attacks on legitimate retailer websites. What's this?
So those are a little bit tougher. You know, for a lot of these scams, they're things that each of us can do, right? I mean, we can, as you mentioned, not click things or really work to protect our data. Mm-hmm. But even reputable sites at times can get infected on their side, you know, with these pieces of code that end up on their servers or other places. And the scammers have put some kind of, it's kind of like you think of a skimmer on a credit card machine that you use at the gas station or wherever. But mm-hmm. they put it's a piece of code they put on these websites. They can grab your credit card data when you go to visit that site. And it's really tough because, again, it can even be a reputable site. It's very hard for us to prevent on our end as consumers.
Yeah. I mean, how do you even protect against that? If it's a reputable site or somewhere you've shopped before, how can you, A, identify that or prevent it?
So it's tough to identify, but I think it's important to remember, too, though, is we have a lot of protections if we use our credit cards and things like that. So just the best advice that I can give people is, you know, for my bank accounts and my credit cards, I have all the alerts set up. So anytime there's a transaction on my bank account or on my credit card, I get an instant alert right there that tells me my credit card has been used. And if it's fraudulent, I can recognize it and, you know, let the credit card company know right away. The good news is for consumers is that, you know, when your credit card data is stolen and used nefariously, you generally don't have any liability. There are always some terms and conditions, as you might expect. But it's very important if you are the victim of one of these scams to report it right away to your credit card company.
Okay. And I've been using a lot of, you know, PayPal, Venmo. I mean, this is how my kids pay for stuff, too. You say there are payment app scams. So what does that look like for us?
So there are a few different ways they can do this. You know, one is that they'll, you know, claim to have accidentally sent you money, and sometimes they really do. And then you'll send it back, and sometimes that's just a way to launder, you know, funds. But the other one is, you know, when you're using PayPal or some of these other services, you'll notice that if you want to send money to a friend or family, they don't charge you. There's not usually a fee. You can do it free. But if businesses use these services, the business gets charged a percent. And what happens is these scammers will always want you to use the friends and family. And it might seem like you're helping a small business save a couple percent on this transaction fee by doing it. But what it means is when you use that friends and family feature on these payment apps, you really have zero protections anymore. So you can't, you know, get a return of your money from the payment app if you don't receive the product. So always make sure that you're using the commercial version, you know, of these products. You know, if somebody's asking you to transmit the money using the friends and family feature or similar, then know that's a very likely hallmark of a scam.
Oh, okay. That's a really good tip. Even if it costs you a couple dollars more, you need to not use the friends and family. Use the real deal.
Right. That's one of those tips I think that people don't think of. Because again, it feels like, okay, you know, it's a small business and I can save them that $2. I don't have to pay it when I pay them. But really, you know, make sure you're using the right version of those payment apps so that you have the consumer protections that they offer.
Totally. I'm speaking with Alex Hammerstone. Alex is the head of risk management for Trusted Sec. We're talking about these scams that are just abound. We are just awash with scams when we're trying to shop online, and we have to be so vigilant. Something that piqued David, our producer's eye, is that you recommend not installing smart cameras inside our home. Tell us why.
Well, so to be clear, it's always a risk versus reward thing. You know, I have cameras in my house, and if you were to get access to them, you can kind of see my front door, and, you know, you can take a look at my hydrangea that's, you know, now dying with the weather. But you know, I personally don't want cameras inside my house. And the reason is, if you think about it, you know, if you can access your camera and view what's on it from your smartphone anywhere in the world, well, then anybody with the username and password can do the same thing. And a lot of people aren't great at securing these things. You know, I always recommend using multi-factor authentication if you're going to have these cameras in your home. But just think about it. You know, is it really worth it to have that camera in your house? You know, are you getting a benefit that outweighs that risk of someone else being able to access it? Because again, at least for me, if you can see the outside of my house, so be it, right? I mean, I would rather you didn't, but if you can, that's fine. But I don't want anyone looking inside my house, and especially not if there's audio and things like that. So really, you know, think about things before you put these devices with cameras inside your house.
I mean, a lot of parents are using them as baby monitors now.
Absolutely. I just had some relatives visit, you know, last week that had one of the video baby monitors. And, it's not on their phone, though, right? It only transmits inside the house using radio frequency.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a little bit different. At least it's not broadcasting, you know, to the internet the way that, you know, somebody can maybe, you know, break into it. So for the baby monitors, I do recommend, you know, avoid the ones that maybe have an app and use the ones that are just transmitting locally to a receiver that you hold in your hand.
This is great information, Alex. I mean, frightening, but really good information. I hope you'll come back on the show because we got to keep talking about this and keep warning folks about this. Alex Hammerstone from Trusted Sec, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You got it. I mean, there's so many points of failure out there, even on reputable websites. He's saying there can be skimming apps, and it makes me, gosh, during the break, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to log into my credit card and just make sure, because I have been shopping online, just make sure that there's nothing untoward or nothing dangerous on there. Speaking of the holidays, David and I are going to quiz each other. It's Hanukkah words versus Christmas words. Who knows them? Next. Well, now's the time where David usually stumps Paul and myself with a very hard quiz. That's actually probably very simple. We're just not that smart. So this today, since Christmas is coming and we are celebrating the fourth night of Hanukkah, we decided to quiz each other about Christmas and Hanukkah words. I, of course, have an advantage because my words can be Yiddish or Hebrew. And as far as I know, David, you are not fluent in either language.
No, I'm not. Are you fluent in Hebrew?
No. But you should be pretty good at Yiddish, knowing the amount of Yiddish that I've used on the show. So you might recognize some.
Okay,
but,
gosh, schwitz a little bit.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. Is that okay?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, sounds good. My first word, and I talked about this yesterday with Stephen Belton from the Urban League. Churches all across the world are celebrating Advent. There's 4 weeks of Advent, 4 Sundays of Advent leading up to Christmas. Jordana, what does the word Advent mean?
Oh, gosh, I didn't realize there was a meaning to it. I'm going to go with the obvious. Does it mean countdown?
I think I'm going to give that to you because I'm feeling nice in the Christmas season. Advent, actually, if you think about it, it just means the advent of something arriving. It's coming, right? Because
it's coming.
Advent is a season of waiting for Christians as we wait for the coming of the Savior. They've been waiting, you know, since Adam and Eve, we've been waiting for the Savior, waiting. And there's an analogy with pregnancy as well as the expectation, the waiting, and the Advent is the waiting and then the arrival of Christ. That's what the Advent season
means. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well, God, I learned something.
There you go.
And thank you. That was generous.
Yeah,
that was generous.
Kind of there.
Countdown.
We'll see. Okay.
Okay, here's one. You've heard it. I hope you remember. Mm-hmm. What is gelt? G-E-L-T. Gelt. Otherwise known as Hanukkah gelt.
Hanukkah gelt. Wow. I do not know.
Hanukkah. I've given you Hanukkah gelt before.
You've given... Oh, well, that... my first thought was going to be that it means like... means like joy or happiness or something, like you're giving away a good attitude or joy or happiness.
That's good. In fact, our friend Grant, our sales guy, Grant Holthusen, is listening to this quiz,
yeah.
And he's texting me personally, and Grant said, chocolate or candy? and unfortunately, Grant is closer. Grant, you're closer. Thank you for the text, but you're both wrong. I'm sorry, you're both wrong. Gelt is actually a Yiddish word, and it translates to money. And the reason I've given you this, David, I haven't given you actual money, yes. But I've given you those gold chocolate coins.
Yes, you have.
That is Hanukkah gelt. So today we don't give money. You're supposed to give gifts on Hanukkah, and other people would give money, you know, as a gift, mm-hmm. Okay? So gelt translates to money. But today when we, you know, in Hanukkah, we give those chocolate gold coins.
Sure.
As a Hanukkah gelt, we play dreidel with it. We give it to each other. So, Grant, you're sort of right that it is chocolate, but it does translate to money.
It's money. Wow. Okay. Okay.
Gelt. Yeah.
I love it.
Get
We're
some
both
gelt.
Learning things.
And you can hear it sometimes in slang. Sometimes Jewish people might use the word, oh, I need some gelt, or I'm going to give some gelt. It means money.
Some dough, some cash. Okay.
Some gig. There you go.
I like
there
it.
You
okay.
go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you are listening to some Christmas music or attending an Advent service this season, you may hear the word Emmanuel. Jordana, what does the word Emmanuel mean?
My God, I've heard that word as like the name of a church,
yes,
you know, like Emmanuel
sure,
Lutheran Church
sure,
or things
yeah.
like that. I'm assuming that Emmanuel then is maybe some kind of a prophet, the name of a prophet or a holy person. You don't have to give it to me if I'm wrong. Okay,
no,
there you go. Hit me.
Well, it's in a way it is sort of right in that Emmanuel is actually a name that appears in the Old Testament in Isaiah and other places. But the name means, it's a Hebrew name that means God with us or God is with
us. I should know that.
So
that.
That, you know, so then that name that was used in the Old Testament then had new meaning when God as baby Jesus came to earth, mm-hmm. God with us. God is here as a human here on earth. Emmanuel. So it's sort of used Emmanuel. As a proclamation. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is here.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes. And I know Jewish Emmanuels. So yes, absolutely.
Go.
Okay, David.
Yep.
What is the word latke?
Latke?
What's a latke?
Well, I know that from yesterday. I think it's the fried potatoes that are like hash browns because Hanukkah is the celebration of lights because we're celebrating the miracle when there was only enough oil for one day of lighting the lamps, but the oil miraculously lasted for 8 days. And because of that, we celebrate by eating food with oil, including fried potatoes, which are latke. How did I do?
I am so impressed. You should get like triple points because you basically just told the whole story of Hanukkah. You really know.
Well, I do. I listen to the show.
Very, very. And I'm going to be making latkes tonight. Again, we're eating them every night. You eat fried foods on Hanukkah. It is not the time to diet. So lots of fried stuff. I even bought donuts today. So you eat donuts and latkes. Yeah. You're 100% right. Latkes. There you go. They're delicious.
All right. Okay, I got one more for you. Again, we're doing holiday words today. I'm quizzing you on Christmas words, and I get the Hanukkah words. So, Jordana, what does the word nativity mean? What does the word nativity mean?
Well, I know nativity as being the scene of where Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus are when Jesus was born. I know it as like a nativity scene, but is it maybe, David, more specifically, the place where Jesus was born in the manger? You can say if I'm wrong.
No, you're close, but I think that's wrong. It refers to birth or being born, so the process or circumstance of being born. And it's a word that is really, I shouldn't say only, but almost exclusively used to refer to the birth of Christ. But it doesn't mean that inherently. It means the process of being born. So you could say, you know, the nativity of my child happened 2 years ago in July.
Got it.
That would technically be correct, although we wouldn't use it like that.
Okay, well, there you go. Now I learned something.
Yeah, nativity.
But it isn't, you describe it as a nativity scene, right? The birth scene?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So that's the scene of the birth of Christ, right? The nativity
there
scene.
You go.
Yes.
I learned something. Okay, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and then I'm going to say it in English, and then you're going to have to tell me what it is, okay? Because I don't think you're going to know the Hebrew.
Okay.
A sivivon.
Sounds like a type of wine. A very nice sivivon. We'll go with that.
That would be a nice wine.
I'm guessing it's not it, though.
A sivivon is the Hebrew word for dreidel. What's a dreidel?
Oh, just what is a dreidel?
Dreidel is the word, yes.
Yeah, a dreidel.
In Hebrew, it's sivivon.
A dreidel is it's the little thing that looks like a top that you spin and gamble with on Hanukkah. Is that correct?
100% right. It is the spinning top. Yes, it's the game we play on Hanukkah. And we learned yesterday or a few days ago that that the Jews would play dreidel. They would play a game as a cover for when they were learning Torah, because the Greeks and the Assyrians banned them from learning Torah. So what would happen is when they would get together to learn Torah, they would have a lookout. And if the lookout said the guards are coming, they would take out the dreidel and they would play. And when the guards came, it looked like they were playing a game instead of learning Torah.
Okay, so Jordana, as a practicing Jew, like, are there a bunch of dreidels in your house? Do you play this? How is it used now?
A million
now?
Dreidels.
Okay.
We actually play dreidel. Yes, we do. We play the dreidel game, and there are four sides to the dreidel, which have different a different Hebrew letter on them. They spell out Nes Gadol Hayashom, which means a great miracle happened there. And if you spin a gimel, which is one of, you get everything. It's a gambling game. You get everything that is in the pot. If you spin a shin, if it lands on shin, you have to put one from your kitty into the pot in the middle. A hay, you get half the pot. So it's an actual gambling game, and whatever the dreidel lands on, it then gives you an actionable thing to do, and you win when you get all of the gelt that's in the middle, whether you're playing with gelt or M&Ms or peanuts or whatever you're playing with. That's how you play dreidel.
Well, that sounds fun. I think I want to try to learn how to play that someday. That sounds great.
Well, I know. If we ever have our vodka and latke party, you'll come and you'll play dreidel. And we do play dreidel every year on Hanukkah.
I bet it's more fun with a little vodka, too.
The vodka and latke party. I miss it. COVID put the kibosh on that one, too. And cancer. But that was fun, David. Thank you. I learned quite a bit today.
Yeah, thanks. That was great.
I didn't do that well, but you did very well, so I'm very impressed. When we get back, Mike Max, Wild Beat Arizona last night. Thanks for the Hanukkah music. So the big news today, we talked about this a little yesterday. Byron Buxton and the Twins talked about his new contract, and Mike Max is here to share the big news. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, George. Yeah, I was out at the press conference at Target Field, which is... it seems at one point in time, running around to press conferences and whatnot was somewhat straining, and you didn't know, you know, how much you got out of it. Now you just appreciate it because you see people out there, and you see people you haven't seen for a while out there. And so it was a nice break today to go out there and attend the Byron Buxton press conference. He and his cute family, and 7 years, $100 million. And it really isn't... it's not, God, I hate saying this. I absolutely hate saying this, Jordana. It's not a huge deal.
Like a big deal to me, my friend.
It sounds like a big deal to me, too. But, I mean, when you do it relative to, you know, Baez signing in Detroit, and the numbers you're starting to see in Major League Baseball right now, with a possible, you know, shutdown looming. It's not off the charts. It just sounds like it is here in Minnesota, you know, because it's so big by Minnesota standards. So Joe Mauer was there. Justin Morneau was there. Paul Molitor was there attending. So, yeah, kind of a fun day at the ballpark.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad, and I'm glad for Minnesota. It's something to get excited about. Yep, it's fun to be talking Twins.
Yep.
We're off early tonight because the Wolves play the Wizards tonight at 6, and that's still going well?
Yeah. So the for the Timberwolves, yes, the Wizards got off to a great start this year, and everybody, whoa, they became like, wow, where'd they come from? And then they've kind of cooled the last 10 games or so. Still a decent team. And on the road, they'll push the Wolves. But, the Wolves played really – in fact, I was thinking about that today. You're talking about Byron Buxton. You know, he is just a terrific-looking athlete, of course, from Georgia. Looks like he could play any sport that he wanted. And right across the street, another guy has an office right across the street from him by the name of Anthony Edwards, also from Georgia. Now, Byron would have attended the University of Georgia, and that is where Anthony Edwards went for a year. But they're not identical in stature, but they've got that look. Like, man, does that person look athletic. And they are. They're really athletic, and they do things really well. But Edwards is, so we got two Georgians up here making a big impact in Minnesota, I guess is my point. But Edwards is, to me, that he's the one that's fun to watch. Towns is the one that'll get you to the fourth quarter. And Russell's the guy that has to help win it in the fourth because he's got so much experience. He handles the ball so much in the fourth quarter. But that formula's worked pretty well here lately. And I haven't heard a status report because they had two guys out with flu-like symptoms the other day. Vanderbilt, McDaniels, and I have not heard a status report on them for tonight's game.
How have you been feeling, and are you ready for the holidays? Are you getting some time off? I know you're doing your Sunday show. I mean, you're just the busiest guy ever.
Yeah, not much time off. It's the sleep thing that gets me. I don't get enough sleep. But other than that, good. You know, I mean, as best I can, I work out every day, and I do it. I heard Jerry Kill talking yesterday, because you bring this up, and he did his press conference yesterday at New Mexico State, and I've talked to Jerry a number of times this fall, but he had a number that I'd never heard him quote before. He said, "I used to sleep 2.5 hours a night. Now I'm up to 6 hours a night." I mean, can you imagine trying to get by in a stressful job on 2.5 hours of sleep?
No. I hope you're getting more than that, Mikey.
No, I am, but I mean, it just really struck me. How are you doing?
You know, thank God. Every day's a gift.
More
thank God, I'm good.
I mean, come on now.
You're the best. Thanks, Mikey.
Yeah, we'll thanks,
be watching you on TV. The news is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.